So let's get started because we're clearly excited.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Simply Syndicated Gaming News. We can't wait to get started. We're excited. I'm stumbling over words already. I'm the verbal equivalent of that. The people chasing that wheel of cheese down the hill.
Did Allison buy Sunny D again? We warned her.
A little bit. I might have had chocolate and other things. So it's been Halloween, isn't it? And whatever amount of sweets you buy, it's... I don't know who confectionery companies think is coming to our house, right? Because, as I said to you earlier, it was two kids came. Both of them...
We had none.
Both of them young enough to need parents with them, right? And this is in Haworth Village, which is like the safest place on earth. They were that young. That's who came to our door. They got two sweets and we were left with this crate of fucking sweets, which is the smallest container you can buy because they assume 8,000 children are coming to the house. They just aren't. It's weird.
Can I tell you my sad story about last Halloween? Because we have usually zero children that come. But I was at my dad's house last Halloween. And for the journey, I had bought myself a bag of Cadbury's chocolate-covered pretzels, which I like very much, which they have now discontinued.
Right.
But so I had them, but Dad hadn't bought any sweeties, not expecting any children to knock. So in a panic, he gave them my chocolate pretzels.
That's a shit, Dad.
And I was like, Dad, okay, I'll accept it. I've got another bag at home. Right, so I come home after being in London for the weekend to my beloved husband, only to find he's eaten my fucking pretzels. So I had no pretzels out of the two bags that I bought.
And then they discontinued them.
Yeah, and then they discontinued them. That's...
Oh, that warms my heart.
That's almost a story that rather than it being your sad Halloween story, it's like, let me tell you about the last time I spoke to my dad. but I will defend Chuck and say that actually I can't defend his actions as such because he ate your chocolate covered pretzels and I get the pain and anguish that causes. What I can say is that I eat Alison's chocolate that she leaves around, so it's not just him.
I can confirm it's at least also me. Yeah, I don't eat. If he buys things, I don't eat it because they're his things. So can you tell that this is an argument that's been going on for a while?
Well, we kind of have that, but I don't leave stuff around long enough for it to ever be an issue. If I've bought a bar of chocolate, yeah. I'm eating a bar of chocolate. I'm not going to have some of that and then leave it in the fridge for 7 weeks. Because then it's going to go. I'm eating that.
Yeah, that's fair. If it's half of it, that's fair game. But if it's in the cupboard... then that's a 50-50 situation in this house.
No, I'm having that as well.
The key I found is to eat things that your significant other finds disgusting, which in my case is like salad cream pickled things. Yep, so...
Yeah, Alison also has that. She has a quite wide range of things to choose from that I find disgusting, so it's all right. Yeah. But anyway, gaming news. Have you heard about the Switch? Have you heard? It's selling quite well.
No.
Oh, wanted it to.
Yeah. Well, this story.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of this. I mean, we know that the Switch is doing very, very well. And congratulations to Nintendo on that. Big, big pat on the back all around. The wording of this story today, total Nintendo Switch sales might surpass the Wii U's by next April. That's more about how the Wii U was a fucking cataclysm.
That is also worth mentioning. Yes. It wasn't just a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah, that was a console that nearly killed Nintendo in a very real way. I mean, it literally killed Satoru Iwata. We know that. But the Switch is doing well, which is nice.
So they've already surpassed half of the Wii U's lifetime sales in Switch sales. That's already happened.
Yeah.
In the first 6 months of this thing existing. And that's with it having been supply constrained as well.
I was about to say that's with quite a lot of people not being able to obtain one that wanted to get one. So that's quite impressive.
I think they've sold all the ones that they've made, except the ones that got to CEX.
the lonely ones, the ones that remain on the shelves.
Yes, forever at 320 fucking quid. Fuck off, CEX. But anyway, by the way, still not gotten back to me. on a comment on SNES Classic Mini pricing. So, yeah, the Switch is doing ever so well. They have doubled their predicted revenue for this quarter or whatever, or year. I don't know. Appropriate time period. Because, of course, for some reason, companies have to, like, guess at how much money they think they're going to make. Which I've always considered to be an absolute bullshit thing. How can you do that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, back in the days of trying to start a business and you have to set stuff up and the bank always want you to give them a business plan, whether you want money from them or not. And I've never had bank money, but, you know, you do these things. You know? So what you projected earnings, like, I don't fucking know. Who can know that? Maybe I'm shit at this and it's none. Maybe I'm suddenly the best thing in the world and it's billions. I don't fucking know. So write down billions. You know,
in that case, you've always got to underestimate, Rich. You've got to go low, say a quid, and then everything looks great after that.
If you say to them billions, and then you do very, very, very well, but you haven't made billions, they're going to look at that as a loss of billions.
Yeah. Obviously, the bigger your company becomes, and when it gets shareholders and people like that, they actually want to know this stuff, and you have to try and get it right. But yeah, Nintendo doubled what they predicted. Which rarely ever happens in companies, let alone Nintendo. So that's very good for them. They're just having
a significant portion of that is from upping the actual Switch sales from the projected sales from 10 million to 14 million.
Right.
So I'm guessing the other sort of the rest of that doubling comes from software, which, you know, always sells more than the hardware because people buy multiple games.
Absolutely, yeah. And in Breath of the Wild's case, multiple copies of multiple games. I wonder how that ratio is still going, because they were better than 1-to-1 for a while.
Because they had the Wii U. It came out on Wii U as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know that they've recently sort of related news. They have announced a new edition of Breath of the Wild, which comes with, I think it's a manual and a map.
Right.
So, yeah, the Explorer edition.
I haven't seen that. I'm not buying it again, but...
No, please don't.
You know.
As well as that, they're doing... It's funny enough, they're still supporting the original 2DS, the Cheese Wedge one, with a new Ocarina of Time edition of it, which is just green. But it comes preloaded with Ocarina of Time 3D on it. So
that's actually quite a nice looking 2DS. But still toyish, but you know. Yeah. Oh, there it is, Explorer Edition. Oh, it's a proper book.
Is it a proper book?
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't look like a manual. It looks like a big hardback book. 100-page Explorer's Guide, and it's a 2-sided map. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And yeah,
that was my interested noise.
An Ocarina of Time 2DS. That's pretty nifty. I don't know if it... Did I put it in the list of... They put in part of this same Nintendo earnings thing, they've basically said that 3DS sales are still pretty good, you know.
Yep, like I say, the 3DS really kept... Nintendo afloat during the Wii U days.
Yes, it did.
I saw a graph. I can't remember where I put the graph. It's in the internet somewhere. Of the very, you know, Nintendo's the various consoles and handhelds, hardware and software sales over time, and the DS and the 3DS are easily the top earners on that for both hardware and software.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, which isn't surprising at all. But yeah, so the fact that they're keeping supporting these things is good.
You see, in actual fact, it kind of fills me with hope as a 3DS fan that, you know, if it's still going, why cancel it? If we're seeing at this point that it isn't affecting Switch sales and Switch sales aren't affecting it, just keep making it. Why the hell not?
Do you know what? I think they might have overestimated this thing of this idea that the Switch is like a mobile thing you can take with you while you travel or do something else. Because I travel on the trains quite a lot going between London and Great Yarmouth. And I would have thought that if I was going to see a Switch in the wild anywhere, it would be on the train while someone's, you know, trying to kill 2.5 hours. And I haven't seen one ever on the tube, on a train, a bus, anywhere. So I wonder if they're still... See, people are still thinking about, this is my console I play at home, the Switch, and then my DS is my thing I take out for a walk, still.
I don't take mine out of the house. I just don't. If anything, it's actually too big and bulky still for that.
Yeah. It's not pocket-sized.
No, not at all. The 3DS is still far better designed to be a portable, out-of-the-house handheld thing. It's not that kind of portable, really. It's you've taken it to your mate's house kind of portable.
Yeah.
You know, or it's at a party kind of thing, and I don't know. I've never seen console games actually successfully played at a party, ever. That's just something that happens in TV commercials.
I went to a... local cinema had a Big Lebowski night.
Right.
Where they, funny enough, they showed the Big Lebowski. But, you know, they had like a pre-screening, you know, little do where they, you know, they were serving white Russians and stuff like that, and you could hang out with people. And they also had, this was quite a few years ago, but they had a Wii U. Not a Wii U, obviously. A Wii set up with Wii bowling.
Right. Bowling,
and a sofa in front of it. And basically, one group of four people got there, sat down on the sofa, and that was them for the whole, the whole half hour before the film. So, yeah, the idea of people playing in public, not really.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
It's never worked, no.
No. But, yeah, so the 3DS still goes strong, and I still adore mine. It's in my bag because it goes everywhere with me, because it's tiny enough too. Yeah. And it's rugged enough, and it's not got a plastic screen on the outside of it and stuff like that. I'd like to stick with Nintendo just for this one other story.
Okey-doke.
So you might remember a little while ago, they put out the system update for the Switch, and everybody discovered later that GameCube controllers worked with it. And we were all very excited and thought it was very good of Nintendo. But I actually berated them for letting us find this stuff out later rather than putting in release notes. Well, it turns out that they found out later as well, because they had no idea they'd done it. Which I don't know what to think of, quite frankly.
I don't know how that's possible.
Well,
I just feel like there's a lot of really specific steps you have to go through to get this to work, surely.
No, you just plug it in.
I think they sort of clicked a box that said allow, you know, USB peripherals.
That's what they're saying, that they were trying to improve compatibility with third-party peripherals. And so... Yeah, I think it just must be that they've set something up to recognize PC-based controllers for Windows games, and because that's what that converter for, you get your GameCube controller, that goes into a box, that box has a USB, and I think that's what that box does. So it's just recognizing the GameCube controller as any other USB controller. Yeah. It doesn't know specifically that it is a GameCube one. But it is still nice that they work, because they are fucking awesome controllers.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll look forward to discovering what else Nintendo don't know they've done.
just plug everything you own into it. Hopefully something will work.
Yeah.
That's the way forward.
Yeah, I agree. I totally concur. I concur with that, yeah. Plug all the things.
I do enjoy plugging inappropriate items into my consoles, which is not too inappropriate. Just things that aren't, like, I will charge a vape off, cut off my PS4 and a Kindle and iPads and all kinds of other things. It's a USB port sat there doing nothing. Might as well use it.
Yeah. I have seen multiple accounts of people who noticed their laptop was getting low on battery. They then plugged their phone into their laptop and were irritated to find that the phone didn't charge the laptop.
Do you know technically that's possible?
I know it's technically possible, but to expect it is stupid.
At this point, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe it's part of, like, if you've got an Android phone with USB-C.
Yeah, USB-C allows either way. Yeah, USB-C is great. I don't have anything that has USB-C. I'm annoyed.
I just have the Switch.
Yeah, the Switch has a USB-C for the dock.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not quite in a USB-C USB-C world yet. I have trouble saying that quickly. GameStop are offering game rentals because it's worked so well for Blockbuster.
Yeah, so what the concept they've hit upon here, the revolutionary concept, is a library.
Yeah,
when
you put it that way, yes, this is very much. Yeah, that's yeah.
So the idea is that you pay $60, and you can basically over 6 months. So then you can wander into a GameStop and just borrow a game from a shelf, which is essentially a library.
Yes,
Has to be a pre-owned game.
Well, one would expect, and you're only borrowing it anyway. I mean, what difference does it make? Of course, it's a pre-owned game. That is a library. You're absolutely right. There's no two ways about it. They've invented a library.
Yep, well done to them. Because it kind of reminds me of years and years ago, when my dad, the library that we used to go to when I was a really little girl, you had two types of card that you could have. One was for books and one was for CDs and stuff, which you had to pay for. So it's kind of like that now, the paid for bit of the library.
I never once rented a video or a CD from a library, because by the point where I was, you know, would have potentially wanted to do that, I had a computer.
Yeah,
I used to get like books on tape, so audiobooks. I used to have a bunch of Star Trek audiobooks at our library, so I got quite a lot of those. And like I say, this is when it came, you had to get a bit, it was like a big plastic box with like 20 cassettes in. You then listen to the cassettes on your huge Walkman. You weren't allowed one of the CD and video cards until you're a bit older. So, but by the time I sort of aspired, when I was a little girl, I aspired to have the yellow card, which was the one to have the video. But by the time I was old enough, they got rid of that. You could get it on every library card. My local library had Star Trek videos as well. And you remember the Star Trek videos when you used to buy them, only had two episodes on them?
I do, yeah.
The ones in the library had four.
Oh.
So that was, it was like special rental copies. So you could go and watch four episodes of Star Trek on the same VHS tape. The future.
We used to just get cassettes and tape them, like tape to tape. It was just a great source of basically free music back in the 80s.
Yeah, we had a tape to tape thing, yeah. But so that's how we used to pirate things also.
It killed the recording industry, you know. They're gone now.
It sure
now.
Did, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this very much reminds me, it was either Uber or Lyft, where someone had the bright idea of, why don't we get, rather than having all the customers sort of call for individual Ubers to all go on similar routes, we sort of look at popular routes that people take and have a larger vehicle that goes along this route like at a predetermined time, and then people you've invented a fucking bus.
Isn't that very similar to the latest thing that Airbnb are purchasing units of rooms where instead, you know, where people can then book to use one of these units instead of having to rely on a stranger's, and then they can, you know, book and they can stay in this room overnight and then leave it. And they've basically invented the hotel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well done, GameStop. You've invented libraries.
Well, the cool thing about this is, the one cool thing is that at the end of the 6 months, you do get to keep one of the games. You can choose one of the pre-owned games to keep. So,
what do you think the chances are of any of these pre-owned, like, if people want the best ones, say you can get, like, something new, so say the new Wolfenstein is in there pre-owned, what are the chances of that coming back? So by the time you're sending your 6 months, it's just going to be pure shite left.
Well, I'm more worried about the, what do you call it, the condition of the games that this is going to affect, because I used, for about 6 months or so, I used Love Film before it was bought by Amazon.
Yeah.
And I never used their streaming because actually it was kind of shit.
It was awful.
The quality was really awful. which is funny because Amazon Prime's video streaming quality is fine. So I don't know what Amazon gained by buying them. But yeah, Love Film, you could rent games. And while they had a pretty decent selection, usually they, you know, they were pretty quick to get in the latest releases, whether or not you managed to get the latest releases, you know, if it was on your list, was another thing. Because you didn't choose, like, I want to rent this game now. What you had to do was build up a list of games that you wanted to rent.
Yeah.
And you could prioritize them, you know, high, medium, and low priority. And then they would basically, you know, if one was available to you, you might get it. But if not, you might get one that was a lower priority. It wasn't ideal, but I played quite a few games in that. But the condition of the discs, because they were, you know, being swapped around so many different people, they were being posted back and forth very quickly. Even new releases were in terrible condition.
Yeah, I remember that. Absolutely.
So this could have a really bad knock-on effect to the quality of GameStop's traded-in library in terms of literal disc quality.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. I can see, you know, games, you know, developers in the industry not taking a huge fancy to this.
I mean, it's not a service I would use.
No, me neither.
No.
So that might be some gauge as to how good an idea it is. If like 100% of us wouldn't use it. Which I realise is not the most scientific of methods to look at, but it's all we can do right now. This won't do well for them. I really don't think it will do well for them.
When was the last big time that they, brick and mortar retailers fell out with the industry in general? Because it happens fairly regularly, usually over things like trade-ins and pre-owned rentals.
I can't remember. I remember there was it last Christmas Game fell out with someone, and that's because that was a different thing. That was after they'd gone into liquidation or something and needed stock of something on credit and they wouldn't get it. I think have been Ubisoft or something,
right?
So they tried to make a scandal of Game won't be selling this, and it's like, yeah, because Ubisoft won't give it to them for free. Like that, I can't really complain at that. You know, that's their situation. That's what going bankrupt is. You can't buy shit. So,
very much so. But anyway, yeah. So GameStop. Also, it's, you know, you have to. This isn't an online thing. You have to go to the store. You know, so it's reliant on whatever your local GameStop has.
Right. The first comment on this article. No, the second one. Hope you feel like playing Call of Duty and Madden for the next 6 months.
Yeah. You know, and FIFA. In this country, FIFA. Yeah.
Yeah. Although not the Switch version. I read this came out just before the show. The Switch was the FIFA version on the Switch was responsible for 1% of all FIFA sales.
Ooh.
And so EA have been like, well, we're not making any Switch games then because you didn't buy it. Well, you shouldn't have sort of threatened us then, should you? With the old buy it or we'll not make any more. Like, fine, don't make any fucking more then.
Yeah, that's not really a threat. That's, you know, basic economics, supply and demand.
Yeah. And so basically, yeah. Oh, no more EA games. Oh, no. Like, what am I going to do? Such classics as... No, don't know. Honestly, what have they got going at the moment that I'd be interested in?
That you'd be interested in? Well, basically nothing.
Yeah.
EA games. I'm looking this up. I think it is basically nothing at the moment, especially on consoles as well. I know they've got Sims 4 is coming out on PS4, but that's an Allison game and even she doesn't care. EA, your website's shit, by the way. It's taking fucking ages to render. Battlefront 2, don't care. Not playing the loot box game. Need for Speed, again. I've got 12 Need for Speed games on the shelf for old consoles. I'm not doing it. Sorry, this is right, games library. There's a little mini mega rant about EA games. We have to move on and talk about something else before I just sit slagging them off. I'm going to anyway.
Reading a list of games saying I'm not playing it.
basically. Mm-hmm. Let's see, PS4. What do they make for PS4? Right, modder hacks RetroPie system so he can connect every controller he owns. Surely you just need a USB splitter.
Well, yeah, but you think that, but he's put them all in at once, and they are the original controls.
Dude, just...
These aren't USB controls. Yeah.
He's swap things. It's all right.
I admire him, but he's gone too far.
Yeah, that's okay, yeah.
I like this story in because I thought it would make you happy.
It doesn't make me sad. It's just, it's a little...
That's the best you can hope for in life these days.
But yeah, I'm with you. I admire him, but he's gone too far. It's well done, but you didn't need to do that. You could. It's not like changing the controller is a big hassle.
And it's a remarkably... I mean, it lost me almost immediately.
Oh, I misjudged the room.
Don't worry. It's fine.
Not the story. How he did it. You know,
fair enough.
It's just too... He made circuit boards, and he had shit 3D printed, and he used things like controllers and splitters. And I don't know what those are. Not like games controllers, like a component called a controller. And I was like, nope, too far. I put a Switch on mine. And I was very pleased. And I want to know about anyone else who's put a Switch on theirs, because I can understand that. Good on them. Anyone who's done anything too complicated, no.
Yeah, it's just too far. I
like the buttons that he put on the thing. The buttons I can get behind. He put on like big buttons for doing things like saving a game state. That I can get behind.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Because do you know what? It's a button combination on the controller, isn't it? And yeah. I always forget...
Is it
the left trigger to save or load? Because get this wrong and you've fucked it. Yeah. You've got one save state. So I always have to, before I load Legend of Zelda to play a little more, I always load another game first and make sure.
Little mini story about that. One of the many reasons. I was playing the original Final Fantasy on my Pi. And the button for, like you said, the button for, if you're using like a 360, you know, a Microsoft style controller, the button combination for returning, you know, exiting the game and returning to the menu is select and B.
Okay.
Right. I was playing, it's something you use quite commonly. I was playing Final Fantasy. And you come across a dungeon where there are little dancing brooms sweeping things up. And when you talk to them, they speak gibberish. It's a very easy puzzle to solve because all you have to do is read it backwards. And what they tell you to do is to press select and B.
Oh.
No.
Because that was, the original Final Fantasy. To access the world map, you have to press select and B. They couldn't have just made it a and that's literally the only way to do it. There's no option in the menu. So, yeah, that cost me a little bit of game progress. But the irritating thing was, doubly irritating is, first off, it's really difficult to change that shortcut within RetroPie. They've made that needlessly difficult because you actually have to go in and edit some configuration files. It should be, a menu option.
Isn't it?
And second, it's not. It says it is, but it isn't.
Okay.
Yeah. This is one of the downsides of RetroPie. They are not always the clearest with their instructions. But also, so I did this, I successfully managed to change the thing, and then I went back into that little dungeon, I pressed select and B, and nothing happened. I wandered around for a while doing it. You have to go to a specific level of the world map, of the overworld, and only then will the world map trigger. That's when I gave up on Final Fantasy.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I was playing a little more Final Fantasy X last night. I still don't really get it. I don't know what I'm doing.
Did your copy of X-2 arrive?
Yeah, I've got that.
That was fun.
Oh dear. I thought, I bought Final Fantasy XII. I thought it was X-2. It wasn't. Ah dear. So, this guy plugged lots of controllers into his Raspberry Pi. Well done there.
Yeah.
We also have... Are they making a film of Papers, Please?
I know. This is the first I had heard of it. There is a Papers, Please film.
Or is this just...
It's a short film.
Oh, I hate short films. I hate trailers for short films. It's like, you're the whole thing's 9 minutes long. Just show me the fucking thing.
So what do I achieve by watching the film rather than playing the game, is my question then.
Well, you might finish the film.
Fair enough. I've always been put off Papers, Please, because it was essentially my actual job for a while.
Yeah, right.
So it was like, I don't really want to play a video game of my job. Because I didn't like my job.
Alison played it for a while and quite enjoyed it.
I played it for a while and quite enjoyed it. It's one of those games. It falls in an interesting category of a game I really enjoy. I really like. I've never finished. There's a whole bunch of these games for various reasons. This one, because it genuinely does get very...
It gets ridiculous.
Difficult. Yeah.
It's pretty hard, yeah.
The multitasking becomes quite tricky. But I had no idea they were making a film. And it seems, kind of perfect in a way. There's a lot of video games where you're like, why are you bothering to make a film about this? But the subject matter, the drama of, sort of a, what would you call it, Cold War era Russian.
Yeah.
Fakey Russian region. What do you call it? What's the job name?
Border
patrol thing. There's quite a bit of room there for some interesting stories to be told.
Isn't the peril that your family are like starving to death because if you fuck up you don't get paid properly and
basically
that's the drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that is how you lose the game, basically. Yeah.
But of course, it is a short film, so while there might be room for lots of stories there, they will have time to explore none of them. I'm not a fan of... Did I mention it? I'm not a fan of of short films so much.
I'm getting that. I am getting
what's,
that.
What's,
seems.
Your, what's your feeling on the anthology film, for example, VHS?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. You're happy with a stack of short films, but not just one short film?
Sort of loosely connected, if there's like a through line through
them.
Yeah,
a portmanteau, if you will.
Yeah. You see, I just... I've always been funny with them, and Tristan's always insisted, do you make them for practice? Like, fine, don't make me watch it then. it's the equivalent of making you listen to me talk to myself in front of the mirror. That's what it is. Which I don't actually do.
As now if that we've I've insulted ever an entire art form.
Yeah.
It seems I misread the room on this one, so Emma, you had your go, I've had my go.
Sorry.
Rich, disappoint us.
Yeah. Does this show sound like I practice? Really? But there you go. I'd like, I might see that. Like, yeah, it'll be just a thing on YouTube and you'll watch it one day and go, huh? And that'll be it. Sorry, I'm so miserable with short films. I'm not a fan. I don't know if I mentioned her. I do. I'm just being weird. Don't be writing in like, Richie, all right, you need to go and see a doctor. You said that you don't like short films a lot. Okay. Sony trust their creators after revealing new levels of violence. That sounds rather grim. We've found some new levels of violence we'd like to share with you.
If there was a career, if you could choose that as a job, mining the depths of new violence, I would sign up for that in a hot minute, and I'd do quite well.
Those are bloody Cenobites. We have such sights to show you.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I need to rewatch the Hellraiser series. No, I don't. I just need to watch the first two.
The first two is adequate.
Yeah.
I think the reason why this has sort of come out as a fuss is because PlayStation had like an event and they showed off a bunch of new trailers.
Paris Games Week. Yep.
Oh, okay. There was a couple of incidents where there was some kind of ultra violence in a couple of them. And there was a bit of handbag clutching. And
yes, exactly.
Everyone went, okay.
Well, right, here's my issue. Absolutely, put whatever you want in a computer game. I'm not going to get on board with that. I do think it's appropriate to make people aware of what kind of content is in a game so that they don't buy this for their kids. And I'm just reading that, what is it? Part 2 featured a female character being held down and beaten with a claw hammer. That's fucking dark, right? And I think maybe you don't put that in your trailer.
You know what the thing that kind of got me about that was, this is the Last of Us Part 2. And, well, Rich, you might not like this. The trailer was essentially kind of a short film.
See, I'd get bored and like, why am I watching this?
It really was. It was much more formative. But yeah, it featured a female character being sort of, or she has her arms broken by two guys holding her down with beating her elbows with a claw. Well, she beats one of her arms with a claw hammer, and then that's not actually personally the worst part of the trailer, because they then hang her and she's left hanging. But in the middle of the hanging, a bunch of people show up and sort of perform kill the bad people, and then they just sort of leave her there for a really awkwardly long period of time, sort of, you know, slowly choking before deciding, you know what, get her down. She's had enough. And then they get her down and then they all go off on an adventure. See, and then she has the claw hammer.
That just seems a bit heavy for a trailer.
I don't book it. Ever since the Dead Island stuff with that trailer, the infamous Dead Island trailer featuring the death of a child, everyone's like, whoa, what the fuck? And then the game was nothing.
That
like
was
that
the
at all.
Yeah. That was the more the controversy was that the Dead Island trailer was the tone of the trailer did not match at all with the tone of the game.
So I am prepared to sort of give this some rope, if you will, and sort of see what's going on with the games. Because, I mean, these trailers are designed specifically so people go, holy shit, and write stuff on the internet about it. And everyone goes, oh, we should definitely check out that Last of Us 2.
What's also interesting about this is I always thought there was always the old sort of get-out-of-jail-free thing with films where, whenever a film sort of wanted to show something really gory or really, you know, horrible, they tended to go one of two ways. They had to go with the special effects, you know, practical or digital, which, generally speaking, until now, have never really looked that great. You can always tell, okay, that person's not really having their throat cut. That person's not really been stabbed with a knife. Video games don't have that problem.
No, they don't.
You know, in video games, you don't have to have a clever collapsing sword or, you know, show it from a trick angle. No, you just put the sword in the person and have the blood come out. So it's sort of, I'm fine with it, you know.
Oh, I'm fine with this being the game.
Yeah.
That's totally cool. I'm not going to get onto censoring content of games or saying that something's inappropriate for a game or anything like that. Put it in there. What makes me feel uneasy is that this is like, I'm assuming, I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming this is what Sony do with the sizzle reels of just trailer after trailer after trailer, and we all sit there whooping.
Yeah.
In that context, when someone can't decide, I don't want to look at that, or I don't want little Johnny to be looking at that, then that's a bit heavy of content to be putting in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Purely just in the promotional thing. If it's on YouTube, you can at least put a fucking thing warning on the thing.
I'm wondering if that's why they chose Paris Games Week, because it's, you know, Paris, it's slightly artsy. You know, there's the assumption that they're not going to be quite as upset about it.
Yeah.
But again, this is as much as it is Paris Games Week, this is international. It's being streamed across the internet and all that. So
this sort of thing has always happened. This has kind of reminded me of when we were kids and we'd go to the video store, and certain covers of particular things would disturb my little sister. And it's like, you know, whatever's in the film's fine. Why do you have to put that on the fucking box?
Well, you know, I remember the one used to get me at the video shop was Driller Killer. Because the video cover for that in this country is a bloke getting a drill in the head and, you know, expressing some displeasure about that, as you would.
Is he not clean?
He's not keen. He's not. And but you know, it's like it's you have to admire the purity of just saying our film is about a guy who kills people with drills. Here's a bloke getting killed with a drill. The end.
Yeah.
But I was always a bit worried by that being on the eye level of children.
Yeah, that's my only concern.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, that is more than a fair point.
I have
the other game that has raised some. I have read some sort of. I was surprising interviews with this. It was the new. It's another PlayStation exclusive. It's Detroit Become Human.
Right.
It's the new Quantic Dreams game. You know, the guys who did Heavy Rain and what was the other one they did? They're all for those, you know, deep narrative, multiple choices with incredibly realistic graphics.
Yeah.
And the trailer was sort of it wasn't like a short film. The whole point of the trailer was to sort of, it sets up a scenario and then shows you the multiple different ways, you know, it can go. And it's quite snazzly cut, but the scenario is the protagonist in the game is I'm not sure exactly, you know, they are androids, you know, they're human looking, you know, they're Westworld style androids, but they have like limitations put on them. They're kind of, you know, slaves.
Right.
And but the situation involved is this one is in a house with an abusive father who's, you know, abusing his daughter. And so the sort of, it shows the various situations where you have to try and break your programming to protect the child or choose to do nothing and the different, you know, ways it can unfold. And some of those situations do end up with a dead kid.
Ah.
And, you know, in this case, you know, I don't think there was much, there's not much blood or violence. They do sort of more, you know, what would you call it? Artistically edit things, you know, so like it just shows you the dad putting the girl down on the bed and she's clearly dead and he's very sad that he's killed her, as they tend to be. You know, there didn't seem to be any shots of him actually hitting her or things like that. But people have been very pissed off about this. And to the degree of like, not should this be in a trailer, but should this be in a game? So the guy who is, you know, the director of the game, the writer and director of the game, has been a bit cheesed off this week, having to answer the same question over and over again about people saying, well, is this sort of thing suitable for a video game? You know, it's like, well, is this, you know, would you say that about a film? Would you say it about a book? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think The Last of Us was the more shocking one. It was a bit more visceral.
Right. Oh, well.
But yeah, this was shown on the same sizzle reel as Spelunky 2.
You see.
That's a movement flash, isn't it?
It is. So which no one saw coming. Spelunky 2, arguably the more surprising.
I'm not familiar with Spelunky 1.
It's a game about spelunking.
Well, yeah. Incidentally, I have also made my way to the EA site, and I don't want any of their fucking games. Just to bring us back to that. But speaking of games,
so we'll just open up. I'm opening up an Excel sheet. Things Rich doesn't like.
If you could, thank you. EA someone games, should be keeping track of
short
this.
Films.
I don't want to play Battlefront 2 and buy your loot boxes. Do you know what? I might have considered NHL 18, but you won't bring it to the Switch? Anyway, Assassin's Creed Origins Metacritic flooded with fake positive user reviews. So is it actually shit?
I know, so weird.
No, it's not shit. I mean, this is the thing. The game is pretty good by all means. I mean, I was fully prepared to be talking almost exclusively in the news section today about how this game is broken. But it's not. And it's pretty good. And everyone's quite happy. Yeah. But for some reason, there's a load of weird spam bots on Metacritic giving it very oddly worded positive reviews. And no one can quite seem to work out why, because it's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's a very strange sort of review bombing, but like a positive bombing, a happy bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, the only problems that have cropped up so far in Origins is there's been a couple of incidents, kind of Red Dead Redemption style of animals.
I've seen a few photos
appearing,
of that.
Yeah, appearing as human in sort of human T-pose and kind of glitching around the screen. But apart from that, pretty much nothing. It seems like it's working fine. So,
which interestingly, the not to preempt the discussion about Wolfenstein, but yeah, the Steam reviews for Wolfenstein have it hasn't triggered the warning about review bombing that Steam have supposedly integrated, but yeah, things are, there's a lot of negative reviews of that, while it is similarly receiving very positive critical reception. So
I think there's several reasons why that's happening, but
there are several reasons why that's happening. Yeah, but it's,
I think we'll get to that when we talk about Wolfenstein. Yeah,
but yeah, so but yeah, I was just positive. I was just really happy that Origins is apparently good,
working. Yeah,
yeah, and it works.
Same.
It works. It's amazing. Yeah. I probably won't play it for a good while, but
I think it's on the Christmas list for me. I think it's probably going to be sort of my New Year's kind of big game. I'm looking forward to it because I think the first patch is sort of due imminently. It's going to add a bit more content, and then obviously they'll try and address a kind of these couple sort of weird glitchy issues. But considering that you've got an article on here as well about what the new Call of Duty is going to require on day one,
that
it's kind of not even in the same ballpark. Yeah. Bless you.
Excuse me.
And again,
I couldn't get to the mute button quick enough.
It's the curse of the sneeze that it makes you close your eyes.
It does, and it's not even a mute button, it's a slider, so you've got to have a bit more control. Yeah. Oh, I've gone all weird after a big sneeze, sorry. Weirdly, somebody's positively... Maybe they got all these bots lined up to do it, and then it turned out it wasn't shit.
And they're all sort of broken English. They're all, you know, they noticed this, you know, the reason they were able to figure this out is because it's multiple reviews from different accounts, but all copy-pasting, you know, the same paragraph of text. OMG, this game is so amazing and has the most beautiful graphic. Gameplay/combat is great. Bayek is awesome character. I didn't notice anything weird yet. Story is very interesting. Keep up great job, Ashraf Ismail. I am enjoying every minute of it. Who the fuck is Ashraf Ismail?
I should also note that at the end of every sentence, it's actually a comma, then a full stop the person has put.
He's a video game designer. I thought he had a BAFTA. Only a nomination. Scum.
So there we go. Don't believe reviews on the internet. The Gamergaters now? There's no integrity in this journalism. Jump on them.
Oh, no. No, don't. Yeah.
Should we talk about that World Call of Duty thing?
Yeah, let's do that. out... Isn't it going to have a fucking massive patch because they haven't made a working game yet?
Literally, the disc. If you get a Call of Duty, what is it, World War II on a disc, and you put it in your games console, it won't play.
What?
It just won't play. There's no... Yeah, you can't play that. That disc is useless to you. You have to download a 9 GB patch to make the game like boot, which I'm assuming is on top of the game. I'm assuming when you put it in, it will probably install.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have to install the game, then you have to download the 9 GB patch. Only then can you start playing the game. Which, I mean, some would call bullshit.
Yeah, quite frankly. I hate this whole everything. Yeah. Everything about this, that they can put the release it now, fix it later thing is bullshit. I hate that you cannot get away from that.
It's not just that it's unplayable. It is literally unplayable. It's not, it's not like the game will load up and you'll play it and it won't be very good. No, the game just won't start.
That's absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
That is just indefensible.
What the fuck have they done to it that needs a 9 GB patch?
Exactly. That's bizarre. The whole thing's weird. And it just sucks. And it shows what bad work a lot of game developers are doing these days.
I mean, they said...
it just shows that probably what this portends is that this Call of Duty single player is going to be absolute dog shit and entirely ruined in favor of the multiplayer.
Yeah, they don't want people finding that out ahead of ahead of time, and that getting out. So they've sort of crippled it out of the gate.
Do they still do single player mode in Call of Duty games?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember which one it was. I think it was one of the Black Ops ones where they made it like optional that you could like download either the multiplayer or the single player component by itself, which was interesting.
Right.
But they don't seem to have kept to that. I haven't played Call of Duty in quite some time. I don't think I'll be playing it at any point in the near future.
No, I went off it. It got so fucking serious. But with the fucking app that came out. Like, monitor your progress and points and weapon setups from your phone. It's like, I'm not that into it. Just chill the fuck out, will you?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, this is a, you know, Steam. When I finally caved and pre-ordered Wolfenstein before it came out. It preloads. It downloaded, you know, the full game and preloaded it onto my thing. But you can't access it until around midnight, at which point I'm not sure what they do now. I believe it downloads a very small patch, which is basically an encryption key, which unencrypts the game files that are stored on your drive and makes them bootable. And that took like 10 minutes to happen. And then I could play the game no problem. It wasn't a 9 gigabyte patch. I mean, at what point is a patch not a patch?
Yeah.
Because I own games that are less than 9 gig.
Yeah, I've bought a few games in the Steam sale, the Halloween sale, that are, you know, well under the 9 gig mark. When your patches are the size of other people's games, you have fucked up.
Absolutely.
I do remember that. That actually happened with Hitman. The most recent Hitman game, I signed up early, you know, because it was doing the episodic thing. And I was playing on a PS4, and they had a problem where, because of a way that they had fucked up something to do with the audio, there were early problems where audio cues weren't triggering or it was out of sync. And they realized this couldn't be simply patched. They literally had to download every time they wanted to patch the game. You had to re-download all of the audio files for the game. So this was like 30 gigabyte patches on a fairly regular basis. I would have been pissed off, except, you know, my pipe is fat and has room for many, many transfers.
Still, that's pain.
Still, though, it's a pain.
Yeah, it does suck. I mean, can you imagine being someone who lives like in the sticks or someone with a very limited
IQ
connection or broadband or a deal where they can only have 5 gig a day or something like this? This is nightmarish.
Well, they should just move to the city where it's nicer.
Yeah, it's their own fault.
Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, you're Yarmouth, isn't it?
Yeah. Yarmouth is in the country. It's fine.
Yarmouth is civilization of of sorts. Sorry.
But people can mostly read here.
Yes, it's still in Norfolk. We still have that to work with. Right, finally. Oh no, there's two more things.
There's a few stories.
Sorry. Right, South Park the Fractured Butthole skin tone difficulty slider doesn't actually do much. Okay.
No, it seems not. So basically, because we talked about this as well a few weeks ago, that it had a slider that obviously the darker your skin tone of your character, apparently, the more difficult the game was. And it seems that actually that's not the case. It changes some dialogue options. And
specifically with the South Park Police Force, which, you know, is fitting.
Yeah. But aside from that, it doesn't really seem to make the game ultra hard, which is what the initial bill of sale was, I believe.
No, they sort of said that it wouldn't have a huge... They said it wouldn't have a huge impact on gameplay. They said that it would just... it would change some dialogue, and they said that it would change the amount of money you earn, but apparently they backed down on that. But also it turns out money is basically pointless in the game in general. So yeah, it seems it'll be interesting to see whether Because I talked about, I think I mentioned this, that I, you know, I was looking forward to this, but then because the first one was, you know, an unexpected hit, the executives seem to have gotten involved with the second one, hence the pre-order bonuses and the season pass and the day one exclusives and the pre-order bonuses, which sort of put me off it. But I'm wondering if this is also a case of executive meddling, if they've sort of toned down the changes that this would have caused, or whether it just was sort of misinterpreted when it was first announced.
I think possibly we all just got carried away with the fun idea of it when it was announced.
It's funny enough.
Totally possible.
It did remind me, I remember a few years ago when GTA 5 came out, there was a rumor. It was never substantiated, and I was I thought it was kind of a shame that it wasn't substantiated, that the police would react far more violently towards you when you were playing as Franklin.
Right.
And sadly, I don't think that proved true.
I didn't see that happen.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
They tend to just shoot you, whatever. But
well, yeah, they are. I always thought the police in Los Santos were a bit heavy-handed, but then apparently, you know, the police in LA are historically a bit heavy-handed in general.
They do have that reputation, I've heard. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm now moving through this list of most expensive things you can buy on Steam. And I like this.
Do you want to build a train set?
Exactly. single most expensive product on Steam. Strata. Oh, for fuck's sake, yeah. Richard. Strata Spaces VR Professional Edition Upgrade. $995 for modeling real world locations in virtual reality.
Yeah.
So it's more of a program than a game?
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed they chose that. Like, what? You know, that's not a game.
Yeah. Oh, well. No, but there are some ridiculous ones in here. Like the most expensive community market. Have you ever been on the Steam community market?
I have not.
It can get weird. Some items like Dota 2 and CSGO items can start at around $1,800.
What? Is that just like in-game items?
That's in-game items.
That's like hats and shit. Yeah,
they can fuck off with that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Train Simulator. Oh yeah, now
Have you seen the number of this?
Let's see. So the most expensive DLC, if you buy it all at once on Steam, Train Simulator. Hang on, is that $4,207.42?
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Train Simulator.
Buy an actual train for that.
You probably could.
Could you really? I don't know. There's one near us. There's one down at the bottom of the hill. They're quite large, you know.
Yeah, I reckon you could buy. That's fair, but I reckon you probably buy one of the carriages because in London, the old discontinued tube train carriages, they get used to they stick them on top of high rise buildings and stuff as like a feature, and you can buy one for less than that.
I've seen that. Yeah,
I think you could probably buy the train for that, but if you wanted to have it on a real way, then you're looking at a lot more money just in, like, you know, terms of licenses and all that shit.
Yeah, so so not an actual train, but $4,000, that's a kitchen.
Yeah,
it is. A person who lives in a house that needs a new kitchen, that's a new kitchen.
It really is. I'm now caught up in the Train Simulator 2017 Standard Edition. It's $24.99. You get the standard game, but you also get the Hamburg to Lübeck railway route, the Marseille to Avignon route, North Jersey coastline route, and the South Wales coastal route. So I assume you just sit looking at your computer driving your train around Wales on this track.
I don't want to be disparaging, right? Because the three of us, we're nerds, right? But this is for fucking nerds.
I just looked up because what's odd is that you find these, it is around these sort of weird niche simulation games that these things tend to happen. And it's always like loads of small ticket items. You know, it's not like, you know, something that costs 20 quid a pop.
Yeah.
And I just opened up the Euro Truck Simulator. Steam page. And yeah, if you want to buy all the DLC for Euro Truck Simulator 2, you're looking at £99.28.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. And that's all for just... Yeah, one of them is £2.79 for cabin accessories. There's
that's like a drinking bird or something.
Yeah, that kind of thing. The £2.99 wheel turning pack. I don't know what that is. The wheel turning pack?
I can't imagine.
I always thought turning the wheel was an essential part of the game.
What's the prostitute murder DLC run at?
Oh, that's a free. That's free. That's
just,
you know,
part of the core game.
That's core gameplay there. You can't part that out. People would be upset. Yeah. Scandinavia, £13.49. That's a bit much.
It's a lovely country, though, to be fair.
What, Scandinavia?
Well, a lovely area then. Sorry, yes. My bad.
Okay. So, is that is all the news now, then?
No.
No? What have I missed?
There was a thing about Far Cry 5, wasn't there?
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Where is that? Yeah.
It's below the Call of Duty story, I think.
Below the Call of Duty story. Hang on there. I can't find that.
Oh.
Oh, wait, that. No. So one of you read it out. I can't. I genuinely can't find it on this list. Where is it on the list?
Emma, after you.
Hang on a minute. I've got to open Slack again because I switched it off.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Far Cry 5's pricey $200 Resistance Edition available at GameStop.
Yeah, so basically, and we're getting a 90 quid version, which comes with a less attractive steelbook, and my pet hate fucking postcards. Please stop putting postcards in these fucking special editions. I don't want them. They're useless. They just take up space.
Yeah, stop buying special editions. Just shut
I'm not buying them regularly because I don't want any fucking postcards, Richard. This is the point. I'm looking at these things saying, yeah, nice, I like the steelbook, and okay, I can take or leave the statue, and this is nice, and oh, look, there's some postcards, you're dead to me already. Fuck off, I don't want it.
And it does, I'm looking at sort of the digital deluxe edition bonuses, and it comes with a bunch of skins for vehicles, outfits, and weapons, and they are fucking hideous.
They suck, yeah.
They really suck. That was all I had to say on that.
Yeah, but what do you think of statues, though? Because you're a statue man.
You know, Ubisoft statues, Ubisoft do really good statues. I got to give them that. Like, in terms of quality, you know, whether or not you're into, like, these are sort of statues of just a guy and a dog and a guy with a Bible. Whereas this, you know, the Assassin's Creed statues, that's a guy, you know, that's at least an interesting looking kind of guy.
Yeah,
oh, I found
true.
It. I've just found it. Hang on, I can see this and have an opinion now. All right.
I'm kind of sad we don't get the beer koozie.
Oh, this looks, it's tat. This is, oh, come on. This is just stuff that you have and for 5 minutes you think, oh, it's a thing. And then you find it in a cupboard 8 years later and throw it away. Isn't that what this stuff is?
I have a shelf above me covered in it.
Yeah.
But I love it.
This is why I quite like the steelbook, though. I think the steelbook's attractive in the $200 one.
Yeah.
But our one, I definitely don't... I wouldn't pay 90 quid for. No. Because, I mean, you know, statue... I mean, the map is quite nice, I suppose. The box is okay. Our steelbook is a bit... take it or leave it. So I think I'll be saving my pennies there. But yeah, it was mostly because I saw this and I was like... $200, okay, there's some nice things. I like the steelbook. Oh, good, some postcards. Fuck off.
Mike, could you add special editions of games to that spreadsheet, please?
Okay, I'll open it up. I'll add that in.
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, it's... Oh, whatever. But $200?
Yeah.
$200?
That's a lot of money.
$100? It's just a game, people. It's just a game. It'll be $9.99 in 6 months. I suppose you won't get the statue with it, then. But that's the risk you take. Is that all the news?
I think so.
That's all I got.
Then it's time for you two to gush about Wolfenstein, isn't it, really?
Yes!
All right. So what should the policy be on spoilers?
This is the thing, because I think... I don't know if it's
release.
A spoiler. Yeah, the problem is because this game has got a... insane twist in it.
Yes, it does.
It's kind of the craziest thing I've seen outside of a Metal Gear Solid game.
Absolutely.
Rich, do you care? Because we can always put
I kind of do, because I intend to play this
that's
game.
Absolutely fine.
I do intend to play it.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. So,
okay, we won't talk about that. We'll just talk about our experiences.
I've been very much enjoying this game.
Oh, man, it's so much fun. I mean, it's got some flaws that I find slightly irritating, but just as an experience, but as the story, I mean, aside from the twist, it's incredibly good.
Yes.
And, like, it's incredibly rewarding as well if you've played the New Order and the Old Blood as well, because it carries on from that and expands it, and oh my goodness, it's made me incredibly emotional and incredibly happy at the same time, and yeah, just it's sort of the things that they've brought into the game, the mechanics are really fun. God goodness, yeah. It was one of those things of I turned it on and I was sad that I had to turn it off and go to bed because I just wanted to keep playing it.
Well, I'm probably not quite as far through it as you are.
I've beat the story.
You've beat the story. I haven't. Yeah. I've gotten just past the point of the massive fucking twist.
Okay, in which case then I can't say anymore. But
yeah, that's where I'm at. I've been playing it on PC, and it's funny because whenever you look at the story page for it, it's current. As we're speaking, it has slightly. It's changed. When I loaded it up, it was all reviews mixed. It has just swung to mostly positive.
Right. Okay. I think there's for me. I think there's three reasons for what the reviews, because it for the critics, you know, the professionals across the board love basically. Yes,
this has been a very well received game from the publications.
It has, but there are three reasons why. I think there's obviously Nazi trolls is problem one. Mm-hmm. Problem two, for me, you will experience this later, but for me, it doesn't have a difficulty curve as much as a difficulty roller coaster.
I agree.
In that there are portions of this game which are incredibly difficult, followed by portions of them that you will breeze through. The stealth is a problem.
How so? How do you feel about that?
Beginning, because I struggle with first person stealth anyway, because you can, because you're in first person, if you're kneeling behind something and you think you're fine, someone can approach you from outside of your vision cone and set off an alarm, and then you're fucked, essentially. Also, the way that it's set up is that you have commanders on the map that if you take them out, you don't trigger an alert. In the New Order, they were basically usually all on the same level or on just one floor above you.
Yeah.
In this game, they can be 150 meters away from where you are, and you have no idea where they are on a multi-level map. So
yeah,
that's
the maps are a little bit more vertical, which has led to one or two of my problems with it. The way BJ Blazkowicz, not great with ladders.
Yeah,
he's not BJ great not with good. Ladders.
Also, I am lost constantly. But that's just me because I have no sense of direction. Like on the Aevis Hammer, the hub world, essentially the submarine,
It just took me like one go to get my head around that.
No, I'm fucking lost all the time. But I think that's just me. But yeah,
it must be a shame because those are actually kind of my favorite sections of the game.
I like being on the Aevis Hammer, but you know, it takes me a while to get where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, just interact with all the characters.
Yeah, definitely. But like, I got a bit frustrated. Like when you go to Manhattan, and you're walking around that bombed out building.
I was like,
where the fuck am I? You know. So that's just me though, because I'm lost all the time in games.
Yeah, and there's an irritation that whenever you open up the map screen, it doesn't allow you to switch between the different levels. Different floors. But no, funny enough, looking through the Steam reviews. There are the two biggest sort of criticisms in the Steam reviews. One is technical problems. Apparently, people have been having. I haven't had any technical problems at all.
No,
I haven't had any crashes. I haven't had any corrupted save files. I've had one or two instances of lighting bugs where the lighting was flickering a bit, but that wasn't really a huge problem, and I got past it. The other one is what's interesting is reading through, if you go onto the Steam store page and read through the reviews, the negative reviews, people can get very creative in how they disguise what they're really trying to say,
yeah,
while at the same time it is fucking obvious what they're trying to say. The biggest criticism with the story is that people are criticizing how it's not very subtle. It's not very subtle. And I have to agree that certain parts of the game, it's about as subtle as a brick to the face in terms of what it's trying to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, messages like, hey, black people are people too. You know, hey, Nazis, not so good. Not so good with the Nazis. We're not keen on them. You know, hey, idiots are very easily misled. Things like that. And what I would say is, first off, the Wolfenstein series, it's never been one for subtlety.
No, it's always been pretty in your face.
It's B-movie. It is very much B-movie, you know, style. I mean, the, you know, the twist in itself, pure B-movie. But also, I would say, in recent years, subtlety hasn't really been working too well for us. Relying on people to remember that, you know, hating people because of their ethnicity and voting for people because they promise to make your life better at the expense of others. Remembering that that's not a great thing. We haven't been able to rely on people to remember that by themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, fuck subtlety. Subtlety can suck a dick. So yeah, there's been a lot of reviews like that trying to couch how unrealistic this story is, how unrealistic, you know, the idea of Nazis in America is. And it's like, dude, look out the fucking window.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, the other thing that I've seen about this is achievement problems.
Really?
Yeah. There's a big hoo-ha about the Mein Leben difficulty, which is my shitty...
unlockable.
The unlockable one. But I have seen reports of people sending back their copies of this game unopened because the Mein Leben difficulty, which is the hardest one that you unlock after you've beaten the game.
On Uber.
You don't need to beat it on Uber, just beat it.
Oh, right.
So basically, what they're saying is that this difficulty, which if my shitty German is like my lovely, my darling, something like that, it actually translates to... basically, this is like Uber difficulty. It is permadeath. It is no saves. And you have to do this in one session.
Ooh.
Right? So this is a 10 to 15 hour game with unskippable cutscenes.
Right.
And there were people online that I've seen today saying, I can't do that. It's not possible. You know, like not just a skill level, but people were sort of now trying to frame it as it's irresponsible for Bethesda to put an achievement on there that would encourage people to sit there for a minimum of 10 hours trying to beat this thing with no opportunity to come away from the screen. When I find this slightly disingenuous, by the way, because we all hold our hands up. I've sat and gamed for longer than that.
It's not a good thing to do, but
it's been done, yeah. But it's, you know, people were saying that they've got to patch this because either someone's going to die trying to do this because people have died playing, you know, say games for long sessions, or there's more what I think it is actually in truth that people cannot 1,000 or platinum trophy this game.
Yeah.
And so don't want nothing to do with it, which I think is probably going to be a few of the negative reviews that you've got on there as well on Steam.
Probably. It's just funny that literally I opened this the Steam page up when we started the first time we mentioned it, and it was sitting at mixed, and now it's suddenly swung around to mostly positive.
Positive.
Yeah.
But just purely as a story and a continuation of the story from The New Order and The Old Blood, it's fantastic. If you've played those games, you have to play this. It's not even an option. It's got to be on your list to do. I mean, if you care, if you like shooters, if you love Bethesda, if you are interested in this story, you've got to play it. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got flaws for me. I mean, like I say, the difficulty up and down is a problem.
Yeah,
for me,
there are some very odd spikes of brutal difficulty, which you'll be reloading quite a few times.
Yeah, You will, especially on the higher difficulties, like because at the beginning of the game, you are weakened from the events of the previous game.
Yeah.
And you have only 50% health.
Yeah.
Quite a significant portion of this game. Yeah. And although you have armor to compensate for it somewhat, if you're playing on even the medium difficulty, you will get cornered and shot to pieces and die in a, you know, very easily. Yeah. So I think that there's going to be quite a bit of frustration there. I mean, there was for me, because there was a few times where I was just got cornered and couldn't get out of it, and it was very frustrating. But it's I think the
courthouse scene.
The courthouse, fuck that.
That was awful. That was like 7 or 8 reloads.
Yeah.
But it was worth it once I got through it.
Oh god, yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say it's not worth it, but I think that there's absolutely no shame in just saying what I did, you know, eventually was bring the difficulty down a step and enjoy the story. Me. Oh, whatever. I'll just, you know, it's a thing of like, people who are listening to that and thinking fucking casual. But you know what? there's a line to be drawn between.
It won't affect how I treat you, just how I think of you.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think there's a bit of a line to be drawn between am I enjoying this or am I just sort of gritting my teeth and just trying to get through it because I'm. You know, I'm enjoying the shooting aspect of it and I'm enjoying the action and I'm enjoying the story a lot, but if the difficulty is making me want to throw my controller through the door, it's got to change. So it is for me. Yeah.
Just to follow up on the Amazon weirdness.
Oh, yes.
Because I kept track of this. I tweeted to Amazon and I also tweeted to GamesRadar, who are sort of site because they have a fairly competent UK division, just asking them to check into it, but I didn't get a response from either of them, which is disappointing. I mean, I thought, you know, on this show, I'm Irish and disabled, so that's ethnic and, you know, disabled. You're a girl, so mm-hmm. I think the only, you know, in order to get a bit more attention, Rich, have you thought about coming out as gay?
Sorry, no.
Yeah, are you saving that for something? I don't know.
It's going to be in my book.
It's going to be in your book.
Oh, yeah. Right, fair enough.
All right.
It's super weird. I wonder if you can buy it now. Well, no, it's out.
Yes, the day after release, it's suddenly available again.
Again, that's super weird.
Just the Welcome to America version. Oddly, not on PC. Only Xbox and PS4. But yeah,
you should talk about what you actually get in the Welcome to America pack, because this is the thing that obviously I ordered it. I only ordered the standard edition.
Oh yeah, how did yours arrive?
Yes, so mine arrived in a box, so just sort of a double size box, sort of width wise. I mean, double size of a normal console, like an Xbox box. Mm-hmm. And it's slightly taller, which is irritating because now it looks weird on my shelf. But what basically I got was the game in the box. And I got a little, like a 48 page, like mock TV guide.
Yeah.
Where it's got like an interview with General Engel.
Mm-hmm.
And a travel pass holder. And the season pass episode 0.
Which I got that as well, because I think that was just a pre-order bonus.
Right. So that's what I received.
Huh. So it did actually end up being the upgraded version, the Welcome to America.
It was the upgraded version, yes. It was.
But so you're saying that it wasn't like packaged all in one box? It was like the standard edition of the game and then these two things beside it?
Oh, no, it's the standard edition of the game. These two things beside it, which comes in a cardboard box, like a Wolfenstein cardboard box, which like, is what I say is slightly too tall for the other things on my shelf, which is annoying. But so that's what I got. So I've got a travel pass holder I won't use and a booklet I read and then put back in the box.
And you got that for £34?
£39.
Really? Are you sure they aren't going to... Because
no, I got an email saying when I ordered it, it was £43. So right. Then reducing it to £39 was the money down, essentially.
Right.
That was the reduction. So I already got the reduction at point of sale, essentially. So I'm not getting it for 35.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. That's because you were Xbox, weren't you?
Yes.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, that was it was 34 if you were buying it for PC. So, yeah, it seems that for some reason the welcome... Yeah, no, you can get the Welcome to America pack in stock on November 4th. Order it now for 34 quid for the PC. And it'll ship it to me because it's not fucking explosive.
I don't get it. It's so weird. But so you were weird. Saying that you were. So you said that to me on Twitter that you were going to get on Steam and pay the it looks better than your copy tax.
Yes.
So perhaps we should compare notes. Mine looks lovely.
Mine also looks lovely.
But I would say on the sort of extreme close-ups you have of people's faces, people's eyebrows don't look quite right and things like that. Like hair texture isn't quite. But I would say apart from that,
yeah.
Yeah, apart from that, I'm pretty satisfied with how it looks.
I really like. Yeah, I've been appreciating the. There's a lot of sort of world detail, especially in certain areas, like when you get to Roswell and stuff like that, where you can go about reading, you know, posters and stuff, and it's nice and sharp, and that's all super good. And I've been getting, you know, my frame rate hasn't been all over the place, which I thought it would be, you know, between sort of the slower sections and when things, you know, get mental. So weirdly, a lot of people have been having problems with it on PC. I don't know what their setups are. I don't know if they're running it on old, you know.
That's the thing with PC, because you don't know what people's setups are. You can't really address that problem until you play it, essentially. But that's the thing with PC. It takes your money, it takes your choice, didn't you? So
but I have had no problems.
Yeah, it's because you've got a kick-ass rig, haven't you? Yes, so I expect that you've got... I mean, just from my experience, having played AAA games on the Xbox, I think this is the one that sort of run the smoothest. Like, when I played Sniper Elite 4, I mean, there was things like had sort of weird texture pop-in sometimes, or like you say, when things got mental, it was sort of grind a bit and sort of get a bit, you know, robot-y. Mm-hmm. But I haven't experienced that with Wolfenstein at all. I mean, but again, because people were bitching, just looking at the people on forums bitching about this Mein Leben difficulty, obviously if your game crashes then you'd be fucked, sorry. But there were people saying, no, it's crashed, it's done this while I've been playing it, and I haven't had any problems with it crashing at all yet, touch wood. So obviously not being able to sort of go into the story much more. I think that's about all I'm really can say about it, because I don't want to give away the twist to people. If you care at all about this game and playing it in the future, don't look at the achievement list. Don't look at the achievement list, it will give things away. Yeah. And you know, try and avoid people talking about it, because you have to experience it yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So Rich, Mario. Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey came out on the same day as Wolfenstein, as I'm sure the world is aware. And
it feels slightly bad for Origins, for Assassin's Creed, because it's just been left behind in the dust.
It had no chance. It just had no chance. So then, Super Mario Odyssey.
Almost say Super Mario Orifice?
I nearly said Super Mario Origins. Because we just talked about Assassin's Creed there. That was
when he got his cities and guilds and... in plumbing.
Yes, it is. No spoilers on the story. I don't want to give anything away as such. Basically, there's this guy called Bowser, and he kidnaps Princess Peach, who's Mario's girlfriend, and Mario has to go and save her.
Well, their relationship is complicated, but we've got into that before.
Yeah, so that's essentially the story there. And the way it works is you have this ship called the Odyssey, which looks like a giant hat, and you have to find power moons around various areas to power this ship to chase after Bowser. Okay? It's absolutely joyous and fantastic. It really is wonderful. You have this gameplay mechanic of your hat being alive. Basically, you end up meeting this character on a planet that's very hatty. They're all little hats, and they live in giant hats and that kind of thing, and they've got eyes and stuff. So one of them becomes Mario's hat, because Bowser has also kidnapped that hat's little sister, who is living in Princess Peach's crown. So you join forces, and then so you have this hat mechanic, right? So you can.
You know what? I'm willing to bet that the reviews aren't sort of filled with, this is completely unrealistic.
No, they're people don't really complain about that with Mario. You're onto a loser there, aren't you?
You are.
Way to get political against the hat people, Nintendo. Yeah. Actually, no, they're for the hat people. What am I saying? So you can throw the hat.
Well, that's the thing. Nowadays, you can get into trouble for being pro-hat.
You can.
It's not just anti-hat. This is the thing.
You say that you like hats these days, and you're going to prison.
Yeah. I mean, and it gets really confusing because what about, like, I have a visor, and that's sort of like a hat, but
you
it's also
visor
not.
People, wear a hat, don't wear a hat. Pick a side.
I get a sweaty head. My head is large. We've talked about that before. It's very large, and it generates a ridiculous amount of heat. And I say ridiculous because it's not doing that much work.
You need a heat sink.
I need a heat sink.
Like a big metal thing with the prongs sticking up. That's
but then
what you
I
need.
Have to deal with rust.
No, you get a nice stainless steel one and be fine. Let me talk about the fucking game. Let me get back to that. You throw the hat. That's what I've been saying. Now, when you first load the game, it goes, we really think you might enjoy playing this game the most with the motion controls. You can play with other ways, but we really think you'll enjoy this game most with the motion controls. So you take the hint and you use the fucking motion controls. The game is vastly easier and better with that control method than it is with anything else.
Can't you just jump higher?
It's do you know what it is? There's a couple of moves that you can't do without the motions, and I've become reliant on those moves as I've played the game, so I can't go back. So even when I've been playing it away from the TV, I've been playing it with just the switches, the screen, and using the Joy-Con separately. So, you know, make of that what you will. It's a very sit in front of the TV type of game. More so than we've had from the Switch. You know, I played most of Zelda in handheld mode, and that was fine. As gorgeous a game as it is, though, I do intend to play through that game again on the TV, just to see if I missed anything. But it's a very fun Mario game of the 3D Mario style. It has done very well
review-wise.
It has indeed. It looks great. It plays perfectly.
The 27th this year, we've had a very strong release of games.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Which is kind of annoying because I really kind of wish one of them was shit so I didn't have, you know, so I had one less to play.
It would make life easier, wouldn't it?
It would.
I'm waiting for someone to announce, here's a perfectly average, linear, short game experience. Like, thank you, please, at long last. Something that doesn't take 200 hours and requires that I learn a language and things like that, you know. That'd be great, thank you. So it's just a pick-up-and-put-down bit of fun, which is wonderful. You can possess creatures within the worlds, which is great. And a wonderful way of introducing different playing mechanics and that sort of thing, because obviously when you're a fish, things work differently to when you're a tank. That's just nature for you.
Which is ironic, because fish and tanks have a long-standing relationship.
They do. They're very closely associated. You think fish, you think tank very often. Yep. Oh, yeah, I mean, of course, the
I'm very proud of that, can you tell?
That's good. I missed that entirely till I said it out loud at the end there. There's lots of fun to be had. I can't recommend this game enough. My only minor criticism is the music in the game. Yeah.
Because they made a big fucking deal about that song they did, which I was never keen on.
Well, it's in there, and that whole sequence is brilliant. You make... It's not really spoilers, is it? It's a Mario game.
It's a Mario.
You make it to the city where this thing is, and you basically get told by the mayor, we're putting on a concert, and we're going to do this song. Can you find us musicians? And then you have to go and find four musicians one by one, and you get the drummer first, then you take him to the gig and he starts drumming away, and there's a crowd there already that are clapping and jumping up and down, and the atmosphere builds. Who are very impressed by drummers. Then you go and find a trumpet player and he starts playing the Mario theme song, and then you get all the rest of the band together. It does a whole concert and Mario dances and all kinds of things. It's wonderful. But the general sort of soundtrack for the game, it's not that what's there is bad. There is just nothing like enough music.
Really?
There are multiple points of no music.
Oh. I thought you were going to say it was repetitive.
No.
No, that just there's areas where there's no music.
Yeah.
That is weird.
It really is jarring. And the way they sort of work it, when you first get to each area, that while you can do countless things to find these power moons, whatever, and there are always significantly more than you need. So you'll get to an area and they'll be like, well, you need to find 10 for us to move on. And you'll find...
So you don't need to 100% anything?
No, but you'll find 17 thinking, well, that's how cool am I? And you get to the end and it's like, yeah, there are 70 on that level. It's just like, where the fuck were they? But you know, that's 3D Mario games for you. But no, you don't have to 100% it at all. Yes, I remember where I was. So when you first get to an area, while you can do all these things, there is a sort of central goal set up for that area. So in one area, you're chasing after a thing that's blocked up the water fountain for everybody, and you have to destroy that. And then once you've done
that... You have to do some plumbing?
You don't, I'm afraid. Mario's not a plumber anymore, don't forget.
There's a thing blocked up, and you have to unblock it. Plumbing. He's a plumber.
Okay. And so for that whole sequence, there's no music in that area until you complete that task. And then are free to explore the area with the soundtrack playing. And it's a massive, massive mistake on their part.
That's weird. It does sound like they, you know, did the thing where Mario Sunshine, you first come to an area and it's covered in goop, and then you have to clean it up and it's lovely and nice. And they thought, well, let's do that, but with music. Like, no, no, bad call.
There are two types of currency in the game.
I've heard that that's another change. There's no lives in the game. Whenever you die, you lose money.
Right, so you collect coins, and that coin collection continues throughout the game. I'm up to something like 1,800 coins. And when you die, you lose 10 coins.
Oh, shit.
You will get 10 coins back in 15 seconds. So, effectively, you cannot die. I've never come close to worrying about it. I don't know if there is a game over. I'm so far off and always have been, it doesn't matter. And I imagine everybody else that's playing the game also is. Do you know, it actually removes a lot of stress from the game. And
I think it's a mechanic that just needs, you know, it's a hangover from the arcade days.
Yeah.
We're beyond it now.
Absolutely. I think they've made the right decision in doing that. The in-game currency, there are no microtransactions or anything like that. It's just in-game collectible stuff. So you'll have the coins are a currency with which you can buy sort of general things with, like extra health or whatever. And then
it's funny because some of the few article headlines that have caught my attention about it that aren't just, you know, Mario Odyssey is fucking amazing, play it now. The other type is, here's how to farm coins as quickly and efficiently as possible.
You so don't need to do that.
Yeah, I kind of thought you didn't.
I cannot tell you how much you don't need to do that. The coins that you collect as part of playing the game are far beyond anything you need if you were to walk into every shop and buy every item. That's not a problem. Where it does get a little tougher is the currency that you have that is specific to the area that you're in, and that does not carry over from area to area. But that you can only use to buy genuinely cosmetic things which are specific to that area. So when you're in the ice zone, you can buy a big woolly coat and hat. And that's what it's for. And it tells you there are 50 pieces of this in-game currency in this area. Try and find all 50. And it's just another thing to collect. There are no fucking loot boxes or shit like that.
Yeah.
You know.
And the Mario series has always, you know, been somewhat of a collectathon, you know, red coins, blue coins.
Absolutely.
All that type thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. There is a lot of stuff to collect. There must be hundreds of hours in this for the completionists.
See, this, you know, this is the first Mario game in quite a while that I've been really, you know, tempted towards, because there's two classes of Mario games. There's the right to left, you know, a level starts, you have to run through it and finish it. And then there's the more explore, you know, complete different objectives type, which are much rarer.
Yeah.
They don't come along as often. And this definitely falls into that camp. So I'm looking here at the nice, the red switch which comes with Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 330. So, you know, I could get that, or I could go down to CEX and pay £10 less for a standard one with no game.
And just get a pre-owned Switch, yeah.
Yeah. So
I do recommend it. This is going to be one of those games that if you've got a Switch, you'll get this game.
Yeah.
Like Mario Kart, like Zelda, if there's someone who owns a Switch, it's fairly reasonable to expect that this is a game they will at least at some point buy.
This is a 1-to-1 ratio game. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've sold 2 million of it in the first 3 days.
Hmm.
So it's doing all right for Nintendo. They're doing well with it. And yeah, I'm having a blast with it. I really am. I personally recommend it. It is lots of fun. And it's a very well-made, very fun, beautiful game.
Yeah. I've been seeing some, you know, a few videos, a few GIFs and stuff, and it seems like they've really paid close attention to stuff. Like, there are multiple occurrences of people trying to get out of bounds, and, like, you know, get on top of things they're not supposed to be getting on top of. And whenever they do, there's just a big pile of gold coins sitting there. To let them know, we knew you could get up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, people are going to be speed running the hell out of this game, because looking at the GIFs that are coming past on the old Twitter account, people are doing crazy stuff already. Yeah. So look out for, you know, AGDQ this year. Someone's going to be doing some mad shit in Odyssey.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I give it my official recommendation. Definitely.
Does that come with some sort of a badge or something?
It should do, shouldn't it? I might get one done, and then I can get some stickers printed as well.
Oh yeah, that reminds me, that's sort of another thing in my gaming. We are nerds, but I'm taking the biscuit this week. My Pokemon League badges arrived.
Okay.
Yeah, I ordered a set of the first three generations of Pokemon badges, little enamel pins that are from the first three games, and they're really nice.
You're not. I hope you've actually beat them gyms. You're not allowed to wear them if you haven't.
Fuck yeah. Oh yeah. The first three gens. Yeah. Everything after that, I couldn't give a shit. But oh yeah. What do you take me for?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I mean, I think we've all been pretty focused on, you know, our game of the week.
I think we have. It's been one of those weeks.
Some games. I did buy some other games. Because the Steam Halloween sale was on.
Shit, what's the date? Yes, I need to buy Shovel Knight. Where's my thing?
I think it's finished, mate.
No, it's the Nintendo.
No, it hasn't.
No, the Nintendo Steam, the Nintendo Steam sale. The Nintendo Halloween sale is going to the 2nd. Oh. And they've got Shovel Knight at 20% off on the Switch. And I've never played it, so I thought I might get it there.
Well, I bought the, you'll be glad to know, I haven't played it yet, but I bought the Turing Test.
Yes.
So, yeah. I bought a few other bits and pieces, a few bundled games. I got one Halloween game, Night in the Woods. It's a little 2D point-and-click adventure type game, which apparently is very good. But yeah, picked up a few bits and pieces. That was it.
Well, I've got to say, the only thing I've got is Wolfenstein, so that's all I've done, so... And that's all I've bought also, because that was the money I had, so sad face. But one thing that's probably going to go on the old Christmas list as well, you were saying about Hitman. I haven't got the newest Hitman. I was sort of looking at the still, waiting for the steelbook to drop. They've just announced there's going to be Rishi's favourite thing, a Game of the Year edition.
Yay!
Yeah.
So that's going to, because there were what they call elusive targets in it, which were time sensitive. Apparently they're going to put them back in so you can have go and do them again if you want. So so that's coming out. I'm not sure when that's coming out, actually. I'm going to have to keep an eye out for it because I think I might pick that up.
And this is sort of the first, and they're bringing in a few a new small campaign. It's not season two, which apparently they're still doing, but the reason this is sort of big news, and I think the reason they're asking people to buy the game again is that this is IO Interactive, the developers of the game, split with the publisher a while ago.
Right.
So, and they retained the right to the franchise. So they're, you know, moving forward on their own as an independent developer. So I think they're trying to raise some funds to make season two happen, which I'm all for.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Well then, thank you for listening to our gaming news, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that and indeed made sense of most of it. I'm sure you did. It was a great pleasure to record for you. Don't forget to share this on social media or SoundCloud, which is kind of social. Well, it has social. I'm not going to get into that. Just share the stuff wherever you see it. We very much appreciate that. And if you can make your way on over to simplysyndicated.com/everything, and sign up to support the network, then please do so, because we kind of need you to do that as well. It's how we keep things going. There are no adverts on these shows, you know. You didn't hear one, did you? No. Hey, think on. So, without further ado, we'll be back next week with more gaming news, and I'll be discussing Farming Simulator by then, which comes on Tuesday. I'm very much looking forward to that. Forgot to mention that. Until later. Bye-bye, everybody.
But how do the hats reproduce? If it's an entire planet, they have to reproduce. Hat, hold on.
On hat. A hat stand.
Porn.
Hat porn.
Oh, of course, there's hat porn. It's just ladies in hats. Just ladies in hats.
Aren't they doing something to the hats?
They're just doing the hats on.
Right, okay.
I don't know whether you would count the hat as a participant. But then again, depends on whether you, you know, consider hats as having sentience.
They're probably unwilling observers.
Mm. Oh my God, are they victims?
I think they are. I think we've got to seriously talk about how Marrow's enslaving these things. And you can possess things as well, which sounds not cool. I think that's pretty unethical.
Hat porn.